There are two activities that we spend most of our morning and many shuls, a good part of the afternoon as well, on the yontif of Rosh Hashanah. One is, of course, the mitzvah of tefillah, which takes up a significant amount of time. One just has to look at the length of the Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf to realize this. And, of course, the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar. This year, again, a little bit shorter on the first day, not tekiyah shofar. But nevertheless, the combination of the tefillos and the tekiyos clearly make up the theme of Rosh Hashanah. I'd like to speak a little bit this morning, primarily from the vantage point of halacha, but then moving on into the realm of machshava as well. Just what precisely is the relationship between these two different mitzvahs? On the one hand, we have a mitzvah min haTorah of tekiyah shofar, yom tshuva yelochem. On the other hand, for the most part, the mitzvah of tefillah is the rabbanan. Perhaps we'll see as we go along on Rosh Hashanah, may be elevated to be some kind of a mitzvah min haTorah as well. But what is the relationship between these two different activities that we're involved in? What exactly is the interplay between tekiyah shofar and tefillah, both in the realm of halacha as well as in the realm of machshava? So, before we can even begin the first of the marmakomos, there is, of course, something that should strike our attention just about the way we perform, the manner in which we perform the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, something which is really fundamentally different than all other mitzvahs that we do. Imagine the following scenario. A person comes to shul on the first night of Sukkot, and we're in the middle of davening Ma'ariv, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. All of a sudden, the chazan gives a klop, everybody go outside and go sit in the sukkah, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. The guy's meshuga. Said, who does the mitzvah of sukkah in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? Or move the calendar up 6 months in the middle of the davening Ma'ariv on Pesach night? All of a sudden, in the middle of Brichas Kriyas Shema, everyone run to the tables and eat matzah. The tefillah luchud, the mitzvahs luchud. There are times to daven, and there are times to do mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are not incorporated into the etzem of tefillah. Very, very rarely do we find such a notion. And yet, when it comes to tekiyah shofar, we find something which is just striking in and of itself, that the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar is fulfilled primarily within the context of tefillah, actually within the Shemoneh Esrei itself. We're all familiar with the fact there are actually two different minhagim in Klal Yisrael today. Precisely which Shemoneh Esrei do we perform tekiyah shofar in? The standard Nesach Ashkenaz performs tekiyah shofar primarily during Chazaras HaShatz, which is of course also a Shemoneh Esrei, the Shemoneh Esrei of the Tzibur. Nesach Svard highlights it even more by performing tekiyah shofar not only during Chazaras HaShatz, but actually within the silent Shemoneh Esrei itself. So literally a person in the middle of davening Shemoneh Esrei and the shofar is blowing. Remember when I was a kid, so I grew up with davening in a shtibel. Happened not to have davening Nesach Svard, but I think the history of the shtibel was that at one time they had davening Nesach Svard. So much of Nesach Svard had gone by the wayside, but the tekiyah shofar during the silent Shemoneh Esrei was still there. So when I was a kid, that's what I assumed. That's how tekiyah shofar was. You blow shofar in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, in the middle of silent Shemoneh Esrei. What was the shaila? Then I got a little bit over, got a teenager, and I remember the first time I davened in yeshiva, and I'm standing there by Melachol Arutz. What happened to the shofar? So I couldn't. It was a different religion. So then somebody said to me, no, this is the way everybody else does it. Okay, so I live and learn. Anyway, so just for the fact that tekiyah shofar is performed in the context of Shemoneh Esrei, you should really catch your attention. And in fact, the Rav used this as his, in a sense, his beginning point to develop this fundamental yisod, that yes, it's true that tekiyah shofar and tefillah are not two separate mitzvahs, but rather tekiyah shofar is, in a sense, a part of the mitzvah of tefillah. Tekiyah shofar is a form of tefillah. We'll try to understand this a little bit more as we go on, just what dimension of tefillah is tekiyah shofar highlighting. But we should not view tekiyah shofar like matzah, like sukkah, as something which has nothing to do with the shul experience, but rather it is clearly an integral part of Hilchos tefillah itself. So this is highlighted by the Mishnah that appears in the first of the Marmakomos, when the Mishnah actually spells out a little bit of a machlokes as to how precise the tekiyah shofar and tefillah play out. But the Mishnah discusses this yisod that we began with. So the Mishnah starts in the first of the Marmakomos, in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Say the brachos, what is the order of Shemoneh Esrei? So Omer Avos Gvuros Kedushas Hashem. So the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah begins no different than any other Shemoneh Esrei. The brach of Avos, the brach of Gvuros, the brach of Chayim Esim, then the brach of Kedushas Hashem. But now things start to get a little bit labedic. V'kolo Malchios Imoen V'eina Tekeya. One incorporates the bracha of Malchios into the bracha of Kedushas Hashem. So before one says HaMelech HaKadosh, one has already made mention of the different ideas, the themes of Malchios, but all the psukim, etc. Now hopefully everybody should be thinking, wait a second, what is this Mishnah talking about? This doesn't sound familiar to us. That's good if you made that observation, because this is the opinion that we don't bask in like. So the first opinion in the Mishnah says that the Malchios is included in the bracha of Kedushas Hashem, the Inatakea, but you don't blow right away. Then Kedushas Hayom, then you go on to the next bracha, Atavichatanu, Vatitem, Nechateinu, etc. And then Vitakea, then you blow at the end of that bracha, Zichronos Vitakea, Shofros Vitakea, continuing as we're familiar with, the Omer Avodah, Valdah, Brichas Kanim, Divrei Yochanan ben Nuri. So this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's version of Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah. The difference, of course, from the way we're familiar with, is that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Malchios were actually included in the Kedushas Hashem rather than in the Kedushas Hayom that we're used to. Even though we don't accept this view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the postman pointed out, we have a little bit of a zeicha to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's shita. That on Rosh Hashanah, not on Yom Kippur also, for a technical reason, we insert something into the tefillah, uvechein tein pachtecha, a long barach, a long hakdama, to uvechein tein pachtecha, where it speaks about the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's that doing there? What are we speaking about the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're going to make the whole sin, whole brach of malchios. So some suggest this is a throwback to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Shita. It means we don't want to reject them totally. You should also have a share in Adabin and Rosh Hashanah. So to fulfill his understanding that malchios is included in Kedushas Hashem, so we include it in that brach as well. So some of you may be wondering, so why don't we limit it to Musaf? Why are we saying it in all the tefillahs? So there's one opinion in Rishon that maintains that you say Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, each of the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. So you think davening is long now. Imagine if Ma'ariv was Malchios, Zichronos, Shofros, and Shachros, and Musaf, and Mincha, spend the whole day. Why bother going home to eat? Why bother going to Tashlich? Spend the whole day in Shul. So we happen not to postulate that opinion either. There are some who suggest that that Nusach that we have in our tefillah is a little bit of a throwback to reflect Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri's opinion. But again, we follow the next opinion of Rabbi Akiva. I'm Rabbi Akiva. In Einar Tekel Malchios, Lamu Maskir. He said, how can you say Malchios and not blow? How can you blow and not say Malchios? Of course the Malchios has to go together with the Tekiah Shofar. It's inconceivable that you should say the Baruch, you should say the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah and not blow Shofar in that context. So Rabbi Akiva continues and tells us what our custom is. Alama Avos Gvuros Gdushas Hashem. V'kolam Malchus Gdushas Hayom V'takeya Zichronos V'takeya Shofros V'takeya V'yom Yavad V'ador Berchus Karnim. So Rabbi Akiva is, of course, the way we pass in the halacha, what we're familiar with. So one sees from this machlokas clearly what was concerning both Tanoim is that we have to shtup Tekiah Shofar into the Shmoneh Esrei. There's no way out of that. There has to be some kind of a connection. The Tekiahs have to be Alsei the Habrachos. How you work out the details, the nuances, is subject to a debate, but the fundamental principle is agreed upon by everybody. Tekiah Shofar belongs in Shmoneh Esrei. You have to be maskir v'tekeya, maskir v'tekeya, maskir v'tekeya. So of course this highlights the yisod that the Rav is telling us, that Tekiah Shofar is not a separate distinct mitzvah, Tekiah Shofar is a chelek of tefillah. Not only is this true in terms of when and how we blow the shofar, but this is true even when we speak, to some brisket terminology here, when we speak about the chepts of the shofar itself. What does the shofar look like? The imagery of the shofar itself conjures up an image of tefillah in the following sense. The Gemara in the second of the Mamakamos quotes a machlokes hatanoim, and then a machlokes amaroim. What exactly a shofar is supposed to look like? What do you mean? What we know what a shofar looks like. Everybody knows what a shofar looks like. Well, not so simple. The halacha is that technically speaking, kol ha-shofaros ksheirim. One can use a shofar for any animal, except for a cow's horn, technical reason the Gemara discusses, but fundamentally, any animal's horn is acceptable for tekiah shofar. It's true, any animal's horn is acceptable. Is there any animal that is preferable? So here the Tanoim had a machlokas. There was some Tanoim who maintained that the horn that should be used should be from a type of an animal where the horn is straight, like an ayal, like a gazelle type of a horn, which is a straight type of a horn. That's more correct to be used with tekiah shofar. And the other opinion maintains it should be an ayal, a ram's horn, specifically because the ram's horn is curved, it's kafuf, that's more appropriate for tekiah shofar. Very strange machlokas. If all shofars are kosher, why are we making a point as to what shape the shofar should look like? Who cares whether it's straight, whether it's curved? If it sounds good, it's good. If it doesn't sound good, it's no good. What's the difference? Why do we care what the shape of the shofar is all about? So the Gemara has a fascinating understanding of this in the second of the Maromikomos. Amar Rabbi Levi, and Chavav, Amidez, and Rosh Hashanah. mitzvah shal Rosh Hashanah v'shal Yom Kippur b'kfufin. I'm going to leave out the Yom Kippur part and leave out the Tainus Tzibra part. We're just learning Hilchos Rosh Hashanah right now. The mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, one should use a shofar that is kofuf, that is bent over. Why is that? Rabbi Levi explains that on Rosh Hashanah, the more bent over a person is, the better off he is. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin. Rosh Hashanah is a scary day. It's an awesome day. So a person is bent over, a person is humbled in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the Melech HaKol Haaretz, the Yom Hadin, Miyichya, Miyamus, and the Sanatok. It's a scary day, Rosh Hashanah. So a person comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally like the imagery of a shofar. He's bent over. So Rashi explains, the person davens, so bend a little bit when one davens. But doesn't stand up, I'm proud of myself as I stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person is bent over, is humbled in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that idea reflects itself in the actual shape of the shofar. Again, nobody would ever say that you have to have a bent over matzah. I don't know, chomet shalos. You have to have a bent over matzah. You have to have a bent over lulav. You have to have a bent over sukkah. What do those mitzvahs have to do with tefillah? Those mitzvahs are mitzvahs. They don't reflect the person standing with Hashem. But the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar is such that the tkiyah shofar is incorporated to be an integral part of the tefillah experience. And even the looking at the shofar itself puts a person into a certain frame of mind. How are you supposed to daven? What should your mindset be in Rosh Hashanah? Take the cue from the shape of the shofar. It's bent over. That's the way a person presents himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This idea that there is a link, there is a connection between Hilchos Tefillah and Hilchos Shofar expresses itself in a unique statement of the Rambam, a very difficult statement of the Rambam. We have to get a little bit of a background to the sugya to appreciate what the Rambam is telling us, but I think after we finish, we'll understand why this is important in terms of the shofar tefillah connection. There is a famous sugya that appears in the Gemara in several places about mitzvos trichos kavana or mitzvos ein trichos kavana. When a person does a mitzvah, is it absolutely critical for the person to have the proper intention that he's doing it l'shem mitzvah? Or as long as he did the action, bottom line, he did it, he ate the matzah, he blew the shofar, he shook the lulav, it doesn't really matter what his intention was. What do we mean with this machlokes? The Gemara explains that sometimes a person could do a maisa mitzvah, a person could do the action of a mitzvah, but it's clear from context that he's doing it for very, very different reasons. So the Gemara actually gives two different examples. One example is concerning the mitzvah tkiyah shofar, hatokeh l'shir. Person is blowing the shofar, not because it's Rosh Hashanah, not because it's a mitzvah in the Torah. He likes the sound. He's practicing for his musical instrument. Happens to be, he plays the shofar, he plays a beautiful ram's horn, and he's playing the shofar. Blows a beautiful tkiyah shofar through. Everything's perfect, but he wasn't doing it l'shem mitzvah. He was doing it l'shir. Does he fulfill the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar or not? That's one question the Gemara raises. Then the Gemara raises the second question. A person eats matzah because somebody forced him to eat matzah. He can't stand the matzah. He doesn't like matzah. Somebody's literally holding a gun to his head and saying, you eat this matzah or else. So he gulps down the matzah. Good luck happens to be it's Pesach night at the Seder. Did he fulfill the mitzvah or not? So in both of these cases, he did the mitzvah, right? But he did it for a different reason. He did it out of the context of the Shem mitzvah. Do we say mitzvah tzrichos kavana? And therefore he did not fulfill the mitzvah even b'diavad. He would have to do the mitzvah again. But then we say, no, mitzvahs ain't shrichos kavana. Clearly this is not the optimal level of avodas Hashem. We should strive to do mitzvahs l'shma. But b'di'evit at least, after the fact, he would fulfill the mitzvah. What is that halacha? So it's a long sugya in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Kaf Ches, and appears in the second Berakah Brachas, and appears in Maseches Pesachim. It's hard to go too many Masechtas without bumping into the sugya, mitzvah shrichos kavana. So suffice it to say that after the entire sugya is complete, it's a machlokas atanoim, it's a machlokas amoraim, it's a machlokas arishonim, and it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. So just in case you wanted clarity in this sugya, you came to the wrong place. It's a machlokas lahalacha, what is the din? Mitzvah strichas kavana or mitzvah zain strichas kavana? The Shulchan Aruch throws up his hands and says, listen, you have to have kavana because we don't know what the answer to the question is. So at least misafik, you better have kavana. So we try to be knowing at least the chumrah, mitzvah strichas kavana. But one thing seems to be pretty clear from just about every Rishon that this is a universal question. Either mitzvahs yes, trichos kavana, or mitzvahs no, ain't trichos kavana. But you can't start to pick and choose and differentiate within different mitzvahs. You can't have your cake and eat it. You can't decide that, well, some mitzvahs yes, kavana, other mitzvahs no. This is a question that cuts across party lines. Either yes, trichos kavana, or no, ain't trichos kavana. Except, of course, when we come to the Rambam. The Rambam, Kedarka Bakodesh, presents this question of mitzvah Srichas Kavanah, Ein Srichas Kavanah, with an outright contradiction. So one takes a look at two Rambams, the next two Rambams in the Marmikomos. The third of the Marmikomos, Lucha Shofar, Perk Beis Lucha Dalet. The Rambam says, "Hamis asik that kiyashofar islamed. If a person is blowing shofar to learn how to blow, he's not doing it l'shem mitzvah. Lo yotza yedei chavasel. Rambam cannot be clearer. Did not fulfill his obligation. V'chein hashamem and hamis asik lo yotza. Not only did he not fulfill his obligation, but someone who heard him also doesn't fulfill their obligation. Niskaven shamel lo tzeis yedei chavasel. V'lo niskaven atakel lo tzio." If the person had in mind to fulfill his mitzvah, the person who's blowing didn't, or vice versa. In all circumstances, the Rambam concludes, lo yotze dechavosel, finished. The Rambam says, mitzvah, shirchas kavanah, couldn't have said it any clearer concerning tkiyah shofar. However, we jump ahead to another Rambam, in the fourth of the Marmikamos, the Rambam, Ilchas Chametz Matzah, Perek Vav Alach Gimel, tells us, achal matzah below kavanah, Kagon sha'ansuhu goyim olistim lecho yotza yedei chavoso. The Rambam is quoting the exact same Gemara that says the exact opposite of what the Rambam just passed in the Chashofar. The Rambam says if a person ate matzah without the proper intent, for example, somebody forced him, he is yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Ad kan divrei Rambam. Now, there's not that much of a difference, not much of a distance between Hucha Shofar and Hucha's Chametz Matzah and the Rambam. So it's hard to believe the Rambam changed his mind in a few short halachas. In one place, the Rambam is pasuking a mitzvah Strichos Kavanah, that's in Hucha Shofar. And in another place, the Rambam is quite clear, the opposite conclusion, mitzvah Ein Strichos Kavanah and Hucha's Matzah. How do we solve this apparent contradiction? This was such a bothersome question that it led the Magid Mishnah to suggest something which he himself didn't really accept. But he says he thinks, he's guessing, maybe there's a mistake in the Rambam. Maybe there's a Tosafot in the Rambam. Maybe in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, it should read as follows. Achol matzah below kavanah, kan shetzu germa listin lecho, lo yatzir dechavasel. Small emendation. The Rambam just added the word lo. Lo yatzir dechavasel. So the Magen Mishnah himself says, it's a little risky to say that, and he says, he doesn't think it's true. And the truth is that all the kisvayad that we have in the Rambam, none of them support this potential emendation in the Rambam. We assume that this text in the Rambam is the accurate text. You know, it's like the old joke. There are two versions of the Aseres HaDibros. So there's the version that we have, lo sirtzach, lo sinah. Then there's the other girsa, tirtzach, tinah. So we assume that what the Rambam here says is what the Rambam meant to say, and in fact it appears to really be a contradiction, and it behooves us to try to analyze what is the answer to this Rambam. So there are two fundamentally different approaches to this apparent contradiction. They both have to work in the following basic structure. Namely, one of these halachas has to be the rule, and the other has to be the exception to the rule. So either shofar is different or matzah is different. So the Ran in Maseches Rosh Hashanah suggests that maybe matzah is the exception to the rule. Really, the Rambam fundamentally paskins the mitzvah strichos kavana. You know why matzah is different? Matzah is different because whenever we're dealing with the mitzvah achila, the person is full. The person enjoyed it. He's satiated from the matzah. You can't turn around and say, you didn't eat the matzah. He quotes the Gemara Maseches Krisos in a little bit of a different context. Shekein nehene. Means the person enjoyed it. When you're dealing with a type of a mitzvah which includes physical pleasure, so mitzvahs ain't shirchas kavana. When you're dealing with tkiyah shofar, more of an esoteric, spiritual type of mitzvah, then mitzvahs shirchas kavana. That's the Ran's suggestion, but we're not going to go the root of the Ran for our purposes right now. We're going to take the opposite approach. We're going to take the approach that the real rule, the absolute klal is, the Rambam paskins, mitzvahs ain't shirchas kavana. Matzah's not the exception, matzah's the rule. Shofar's the exception. Now it behooves us to explain why is that. A little pun on Manishtana, Halai Lazer, but why is shofar different than matzah? Why is it that shofar has that dimension of kavanah that matzah doesn't have? Why is it that shofar breaks the rule? What we're suggesting is that the Rambam paskins, sukkah doesn't require kavanah, and lulav doesn't require kavanah. No mitzvah, kiddush, because nothing requires kavanah. Shofar is the exception. Shofar requires kavanah, and if a person hears the shofar, blows the shofar without the proper intent to fulfill the mitzvah, he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah even b'di'evit. What is unique about shofar that puts it into its own category to require kavanah even b'di'evit? So it appears that the answer to this is also based on what we're suggesting, that there is a dimension of shofar that is synonymous with Hilchos Tefillah. And we're familiar with the Gemara tells us that Kavana is such an integral part of Tefillah that if a person is Mispala B'li Kavana, whatever that means exactly, whatever the guidelines of that statement are, Mispala B'li Kavana Kilo is Palel, means it's not considered to be Tefillah. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik has a Yesod in his Chidushim and the Rambam in Chos Tefillah, where Reb Chaim suggests that the idea of Kavana for Tefillah has nothing to do with Mitzvah Strichas Kavana. Mitzvah Strichas Kavana means I'm doing a mitzvah netilas lulav. I'm shaking a lulav. So there's a ma'isa mitzvah. The ma'isa mitzvah of lulav is holding the lulav and esrog in my hands and doing, picking it up. That's the ma'isa mitzvah. Well, there's a ma'isa mitzvah of tefillin. I take tefillin, I tie it onto my arm, put it on my head. That's the ma'isa mitzvah. Kavan is something which is external, and you can have an interesting machlokas, whether yes, trichas kavan or ain't trichas kavan. And a machlokas and an unresolved machlokas and fine. But says Reb Chaim, when it comes to tefillah, Kavana is not something which is external. It's not pshat that there are two parts of tefillah. There's saying the words, and then there's also, by the way, as a nice thing, have kavana. No, says Reb Chaim, the kiyum of tefillah is gufa the kavana. Of the b'chol levavchem, avodah shebelev, that the very definition of tefillah means a person is concentrating to some degree, and again, leaving out the details as to what degree, but to some degree, there's some type of a cognizance of what the person is saying. That is the very definition of tefillah. Tefillah doesn't mean just to say words out of a sitter. Tefillah means to be mechavein to some degree as to what the person is saying. Tefillah b'li kavana, says Reb Chaim, is not the same as a mitzvah b'li kavana. A mitzvah b'li kavana is still a mitzvah, but it's lacking kavana, and they have to figure out whether you were yotze or weren't yotze. Tefillah b'li kavana is nothing. Tefillah b'li kavana doesn't exist. So if that's the case, now we can begin to understand the Shittas Rambam as well. By matzah, no. You ate matzah without kavana. You yotze the mitzvah. You shook a lulav, you sat in the sukkah, you put in your tefillah without kavana. It's not the optimal level of Avodas Hashem, but the effort you were still yotze. Shofar without kavana, forget it. Shofar is part of tefillah. Shofar is an integral aspect of tefillah. Shofar becomes part and parcel of the tefillah experience. Hamispala b'li kavana lo yotze, hatekeya b'li kavana lo yotze as well. So far we've seen that this link, this equation between Hilchos Tefillah and Hilchos Shofar is very real in the world of Halacha. We have not yet defined precisely what the connection is, why it's true. We have to first figure out what the what is, then figure out what the why is. But we seem to have identified this idea that Hilchos Tefillah and Hilchos Shofar go hand in hand. We've seen it in terms of the very fact that we blow shofar in the Shemoneh Esrei itself, with the detail, Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nun, Rabbi Akiva, where precisely, but everybody agrees that the shofar is part of the Shemoneh Esrei, right? We saw it in Rabbi Levi's understanding as to the heftz of the shofar has to be shaped in a certain fashion to express this notion of tefillah. We saw it in the Piskei HaRambam about Mitzvah Strichas Kavana. And we find a very unique application of this, particularly this year when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So we go on to the fifth of the Marmikomos. The beginning of the fourth parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, the Mishnah is discussing, the Gemara is discussing the din that appears in the Mishnah. I left the whole Mishnah out because the Mishnah is long and gets a little bit sidetracked with something else. But the theme of the Mishnah is the fact that we do not blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos, with the exception of Bamikdash, at least Bizman Shabbos Mikdash HaKayim. They blew shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, but outside the Beis HaMikdash they did not blow shofar. So the Gemara raises the obvious question, Menoni Mili, where does this come from? Where does this distinction come from? Why don't we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalos B'Shabbos? And the corollary question is, why did they blow shofar in the Mikdash? So the Gemara suggests the following, Am Rabbi Levi Belachma, Am Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Kosov Echad Omer, there's one pasuk that says, Shabbosan Zichron Trua, that speaks about Rosh Hashanah as being a Zichron Trua. So a Zichron Trua seems to indicate that you're not really blowing the shofar, but rather you're remembering the shofar. Zichron, you're talking about it, you're mentioning, you're speaking about the shofar, but you're not really blowing the shofar itself. Because of Echad Omer, whereas in Parshas Pinchas, the Torah is quite clear, Yom Teruah Yelachem, Torah doesn't, no Zichron there, there's no Zichron, the shofar, it's the real Mekoy, Yom Teruah Yelachem. So which one is it? Says the Gemara Lokasha, Kan be Yantav Shechalios B'Shabbos, Kan be Yantav Shechalios B'Chol. So Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma suggests that maybe the difference is that one pasuk is referring to Rosh Hashanah on a weekday, and the other pasuk is referring to Rosh Hashanah on a Shabbos. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on a weekday, then it's Yom Teruah Yelachem, then it's the real thing, you actually blow the shofar. When it's on Shabbos, then it's only a Zichron Teruah, not a Yom Teruah. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma's understanding of this Mishnah, the fact that we do not blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalas B'Shabbos is a real din min HaTorah. It means one is not mechuyav, one is not obligated, one is not supposed to blow shofar this year on Rosh Hashanah. It's a din min HaTorah based on these two different psukim, Yom Teruah versus Zichron Teruah. So the Gemara takes issue with this. Amar Rava, the lady Amar Rava, take issue with Rabbi Levi's understanding. So Rava says, how could it be, if this is really a din min HaTorah, that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos, why did they blow in the Mikdash? If it's based on Psukim, why did they blow in the Mikdash? That's Rava's first question. Then Rava asks somewhat of a more complicated question. Rava says, it's not a malacha. I mean, maybe it's an issa derabbanan or something involved in blowing musical instruments on Shabbos, but it's not a malacha, so why is it that the Torah prohibits it on Shabbos? So I'm going to leave out the details as to what Rava's argument was or was not. So finally the Gemara concludes, if you skip down a little bit, it's the third line from the bottom. El Amar Rava. It's the third line from the bottom, third word on the line. El Amar Rava Midaraisim Eshra Shari. Rava says that Minat Torah you're permitted to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos. These psukim do not mean the way Rabbi Levi interpreted them to mean. For Rabbanan who goes away, the whole not blowing on Shabbos is only midirabbanan, kidiraba, the amaraba, hakochiyav mitkiya shofar, the enakal bikim mitkiya shofar, everyone's obligated in shofar, not everybody knows how to blow. And gezei Rishem yitlenu biyadav yelechet labokin lomod, we're afraid lest the person carries the shofar to ask somebody to help him blow, which would be a violation of chil Shabbos, we have yivenu arba'amis bishus arabim, one we're afraid, one will carry on Shabbos loke halacha. And behind the time of the lulav, behind the time of the Megillah, and happens to be, the Gemara says this as an aside, that's the same reason why we don't shake a lulav on when Sukkot coincides with Shabbos, of course the same year, this year as well, and that's the reason why if Purim falls out on Shabbos, it cannot happen for us on Yudalid, but Tezvav can fall out on Shabbos, but you don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, also for the same reason, Gezer Hashem Yavirena Daud Amos Pushas Ram, we're afraid you may come to carry. So one just looks at the conclusion of this Gemara, one is a little bit of a letdown, namely the halacha of not blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalos B'Shabbos is not a din min HaTorah. Min HaTorah, it's the same as a weekday. It's just a chumrah midirabon, a gezeira midirabonon. Why didn't they institute this gezeira in the base of Mikdash? So the answer is obvious, ein shvus b'Mikdash, the Gemara says, that generally speaking, Yisurim d'Rabbanan weren't instituted in the base of Mikdash, because people are more careful in the base of Mikdash. No one's going to forget Shabbos, the Kohanim are there, the Sanhedrin's there, everyone's there to remind you that it's Shabbos. So Adkan Divrei HaGemara, at least in the Talmud Bavli. According to the Bavli, conclusion, the Maskana is, min HaTorah, you do blow shofar on Shabbos, mid'Rabbanan, you don't. Oh, so what does Zichron Teruah mean? Very good. So Zichron Teruah perhaps means that in addition to blowing shofar, you also have to speak about the shofar, which may be true both on Shabbos as well as during the week. So whereas Rabbi Levi thought that Yom Teruah and Zichron Teruah are contradictory phrases, we, Rava, probably holds that they're complementary phrases instead. However, oh, so what? Arbaminim is a different story. Arbaminim, even Rabbi Levi would agree, is on a midrabanan, right? In Ochinami, even Rabbi Levi would concede that. So, even though Rabbi Levi is clearly rejected in the Bavli, Rabbi Levi is not at all rejected in the Rishalmi. And in fact, the Talmud Rishalmi on the same Mishnah quotes Rabbi Levi's drasha, and that's the maskana of the Rishalmi. We were so bothered with this question, why do you blow in the Mikdash if it's Minat Torah? So the Rishami wasn't so bothered with this question. The Rishami says, if you look at the Pesukim in Parshas Pinchas, so the Pasuk says, Yom Teruah Yeyalochem Va'asisem Ola. The Parsha of Parshas Pinchas is speaking about the Kakravos HaKarbonos of the Musaf in the Beis HaMikdash, obviously. So the Rishami is the Drasha. In Mikdash, it's always Yom Teruah Yeyalochem. No matter what, even if it's Shabbos, it's always Yom Teruah Yeyalochem. So whereas the Bavli didn't accept that, Rabbi Levi obviously did, and the Rishami does accept that. Now, lehalacha, we don't accept the Rishami. We assume there's a machlokes, the Bavli and the Rishami, for a variety of reasons. We usually follow the Bavli. So lehalacha, we're going to follow the maskan of this Gemara. It's not that much of a difference, lehalacha. Both agree, lemaisi, you don't blow. But in terms of understanding lamdus, it's interesting to try to analyze what exactly is the nekudas of machlokes. What is the Bavli and the Rishami? What are they really arguing about? Why is it that according to the Bavli, we have no qualms blowing shofar in HaTorah and Shabbos? Yet according to the Rishami, hands off. According to the Rishami, we cannot blow shofar in Shabbos. It's interesting to note that even though the halacha we don't accept the Rishami, there is something that we have in our Nusach HaTfilah that's also a little bit of a throwback to the Rishami. We have a minhag, it's not me dealing with the Gemara, we have a minhag that when Rosh Hashanah falls out during the week, In our davening, we say v'titam on Hashem l'kein v'yava is yom as yom yom truah yelochem. When it falls out on Shabbos, we say yom zichron truah mikra kodesh. So that's not really the Bavli. According to the Bavli, that distinction is not really correct, because according to the Bavli, it's both yom truah and zichron truah b'hem b'chol b'hem b'shabbos. So that nusach tefillah is also a little bit of a throwback to the minhag of the Rishonim. It's strange where that came from exactly. But whatever the case may be, there is clearly a machlokas, the Bavli and the Rishonim, whether we should blow shofar in a Torah on Shabbos or not. What's the nekudas of machlokas? What are they arguing about? So the Rav suggested that perhaps this machlokas, the Bavli and the Rishonim, is really a throwback, the shitosam, as to the whole relationship between tefillah and Shabbos in general. We have a practice on Shabbos that we have a very, very short davening. Now, I know we have a long davening, a drush, a lot of mishaber, ourselves, if that's true. But in terms of the text of the davening itself, in terms of the Shemoneh Esrei, it's significantly shorter than it is during the week. There are only 7 brachas instead of 19 brachas. Where did that come from? So this is the machlokes, the Bavli and Yerushalmi. So the Bavli says in Maseches Brachas, in the third parak, that the Ikar Adin, we should really daven a full Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos as well. Why don't we daven the full 7 brachas? We want people to go home, relax, get a Shabbos nap, spend some time with the family. So we cut away at the Shemoneh Esrei. What an interesting thing. Because usually, we think Tirchat Tzibah means don't make that 15th Tosafot for the 14th by Mitzvah and Shul. No, Tirchat Tzibah means cut out 12 out of the 19 brachas. That's what the Gemara says. The Rishonim doesn't say that. The Rishonim says, you know why we have a shortened version of the Shemoneh Esrei? Because it is inappropriate for us to daven the weekday Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos. Because how can we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam and ask bakoshas and tchinos and these types of personal needs on Shabbos? That's not appropriate for Shabbos. And, oh, that's why there are many things that we have in our tefillahs which also have their roots in that Yerushalmi. The Avinu Malkeinu, we don't say the Ribbono Shel Olam, the singing part of the duchening, a lot of things that we cut out of the davening on Shabbos are based on that idea of the Yerushalmi. Akol Panim, the Bavli and the Rishonim are arguing about, is it appropriate for a person to be, in a sense, mispalel? Is the regular standard tefillah an appropriate expression on Shabbos? So according to the Bavli, absolutely, according to the Bavli, there's fundamentally no difference between Shabbos and Chol in terms of what you're permitted to daven for. There are technical issues of Tirchat Tzibur, but fundamentally there's nothing wrong with Bakoshas and Shabbos. According to the Rishonim, Bakoshas and Shabbos are wrong. Bakoshas and Shabbos are not in the proper spirit of Shabbos. So the Rav suggested maybe that's what's going on in terms of Hilchas Shofar as well. If Tkiyah Shofar is such that it's a dimension of Tefillah, if Tkiyah Shofar is, in a sense, a Kiyum of Tefillah, or as we're going to see, perhaps it's a form of Bakosha, a different form of Bakosha of Tefillah, so the Rishonim says, wait, Shabbos? That can't be. Zichron Truah, there's no way that the Torah would have mandated blowing Shofar on Shabbos. That would be a steer, that would be a contradiction to Shabbos. Blowing shofar on Shabbos cannot be the Kavanas HaTorah, and therefore, Zichron Truah on Shabbos, Yom Truah is reserved for Yom Chol. Whereas the Bavli L'shitoso said nothing, no problem. The Bavli said, you're allowed to daven a full Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos. We don't, because of Tirchat Tzibur, technical reasons. But there's nothing fundamentally wrong with it. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with blowing shofar on Shabbos. It's a technical problem. There's a tangential problem. Shemi Aviranim. Okay, we make a Gzeir Derabanan. But fundamentally, Tkiyah Shofar can't exist in the context of Shabbos.
Why don't you Shami
with it? Also, Mikdash may be a whole different type of blowing. Mikdash may be a part of the Seder Havoda even, which, in fact, we know, even though, generally speaking, a person doesn't bring a private carbon on Shabbos, but a carbon Sibur is brought on Shabbos. So the Mikdash, the rules of Avodah and Mikdash are a little bit different. So perhaps that may be part of the Tkiyah Shofar. Maybe a Kiyum of Mikdash as well, possibly.
And Lulav. So why not
by Mila? Oh, so that's the different opinions as to that. So the Taz suggests that the reason why is because the Torah says explicitly by Milo, by Yom HaShmini, and the Torah Shabbat Baal Peh says, by Yom, that word by Yom HaShmini comes to include by Yom HaFilu B'Shabbos. So if the Torah is matter something explicitly, the Chachamim's hands are tied. The Chachamim can't prohibit it. When it comes to Tekiyah Shofar, the Torah doesn't say to blow Shofar in Shabbos. The Torah says, Yom Trelechem, blow Shofar in Rosh Hashanah. If the Torah doesn't say otherwise, it's understood that you blow shofar on Shabbos as well. So the Chachamim can make gezeiras on things. Everything is in a sense mutter to prove an asur. So if the Torah doesn't say it's asur, so then you're allowed to do it. So everything the Torah says is mutter explicitly that the Chachamim cannot do.
Another big reason, perhaps, that these three mitzvahs are a mitzvah on the community, opposed to Mila, which is only
Right, that's what the Ran. The Ran of Maseches Rosh Hashanah suggests that. Right, right, right. Those are the two standard answers that are given. Right.
But you show me hold up let me pass you that if you start on Shabbos, you start a weekday brocha, you finish the brocha.
So that, over the Yerushalmi, we disagree with that because the Gemara, that's the context of the Gemara, the Bavli, and the Rebbe Brachas. The Gemara says, because the halacha is that you're basically permitted to daven Shemoneh Esrei of a weekday on Shabbos, therefore, if you start the bracha, we'll tell you to complete the bracha. So probably the Yerushalmi, would probably have to disagree with that. Right, right. The Yerushalmi would probably have to disagree with that. Oh, so that's a big problem. According to Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi doesn't address that. And what happened with the Takonis of Yochanan ben Zakkai? Because the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was misaked, there were a lot of blow in front of a Beis Din. So that's very hard to understand. Bishlam a Mikdash, I understand. Because Mikdash is Vasis and Lochem, especially because they're Sakosim. What's Pshat? So there is a Machlokas Acharonim within the Rishami, where the Rishami understood that there's Mamashin Isser to blow Shofar on Shabbos, or that you're Potter from blowing Shofar on Shabbos. The Rav was assuming that it's an Isser. The Rav was assuming that it's like Lashitasa, that it is an Isser Bakosha on Shabbos. If one holds that it's not an Isser, but rather it's more of a Ptur, means you're not Mechuyif to. The Torah doesn't say you're Mechuyif to blow Shofar on Shabbos, but if you want to, you're permitted to do so. So that may be a little bit of an answer why. Maybe it's still considered to be a Kiyum mitzvah, and the Rishami felt that it was appropriate to have that Kiyum take place in front of Beis Din. But you're right, if you go to the approach that we're taking, that it's an Isser Goma Min HaTorah, it's very hard to understand what the role of Beis Din is. But the Rishami doesn't, the role of Beis Din should have been addressed by the Rishami anyway, and I don't think that it's explained. I don't know. Right, so that may be possible. That may be what we're alluding to before, that the Tkiyas and the Mikdash may be some kind of a Mikdash Tikka Halacha. Right. Right, right, right. I mean, the Mishnah explains in Masechet Hashanah that the Tkiyas were done a little bit differently in the Mikdash. They were done with the Chatzotros together. So, which is in and of itself something which is strange. It means Chatzotros. What do Chatzotros have to do with Tkiyas Shofar? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, but Chatzotros v'kol Shofar real Fnei HaMelech Hashem. So when you Fnei HaMelech Hashem, you have to blow the Shofar and the Chatzotros together. The Gemara actually raises the question, how can you blow them together? You're not going to hear the Shofar. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about Trekolo Mishtame in the middle of that context. So you see that you're right. That also seems to support this idea that there's some kind of a mikdash dimension of mitzvah. Right, right. That's possible. This idea that Tkiyas Shofar clearly has a dimension of tefillah, so perhaps one could suggest that maybe there are two parts of Tkiyas Shofar. Maybe this Tkiyas Shofar as a mitzvah, like any other mitzvah, with its own rules of how to perform mitzvahs. And then there's a secondary aspect of Tkiyas Shofar, which is based more on Uchos Tefillah. This is an idea that is expressed by the Ramban. I didn't put it under my Makomas. It's a long Mechamas Hashem. I wasn't over Mechamas Hashem. The print is so small. It's small when you see it in the Gemara. So it's very, very small. But the Mechamas Hashem develops the following yisod. That if you remember, of course, from Tkiyas Shofar, so we like to cover ourselves to all bases. We blow Tkiyas Shvarim Teruas, and we blow Tkiyas Shvarim, and we blow Tkiyas Teruas, back and forth and back and forth, just to be able to every possible permutation. The Gemara says we aren't 100% sure what the real Teruah is, so we blow everything. So the truth is that that custom already appears in the Gemara, that practice of blowing all the different permutations, but that was primarily what we call the Tkiyas Demiyusha, the Tkiyas that took place before the Davening Musaf. In Musaf itself, there were different customs that existed in the days of the Rishonim. There are still different customs, Adayei Mezeh. There are some communities that in Musaf, they don't blow all the different permutations. All they blow is, they blow for Malchios, Tekiah, Shvarim, Trua, Tekiah. That's all. Then for Zichronos, they blow Tekiah, Shvarim, Tekiah. Then for Shofros, they blow Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah. Means for each bracha, they don't cover themselves in all bases. And that was an old practice, actually still exists. In Broya's community, they still blow that way. But most shuls don't blow that way anymore. And the Rishonim had a lot of difficulty defending that practice. Because, l'chaor, at first glance, it doesn't make any sense. It means, decide what your trua is. If you're really not sure what a trua is, so then every bracha should get the appropriate trua. So you should blow all the different permutations for each bracha. So, what's going on with that custom? So the Ramban suggests that maybe with that custom, his opinion was as follows. The mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar, the mitzvah of Yom Teruah Yelachem, has very specific rules to it. A true has to be this, and it's a machlekes what the true is, and we want to make sure we get what in the mitzvah of Chaladeus. So that doesn't have to be done in the context of tefillah. That can be done before Shemoneh Esrei. That's done after Kriyas HaTorah. No one's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. That's the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar. Afterwards, the Ramban says, then enters the dimension of Shofar as a chelik of tefillah. But Shofar as a chelik of tefillah As long as it's a broken sound, that's okay. As long as it looks like a trua, it's a trua, it's a shvarm, it's a shvarm trua, it's okay. For Hilchos Tefillah, as long as you're crying out to the Rebbein Shalom, so the Rebbein Shalom is not counting as to how many seconds the trua is. To fulfill that mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar, those are very specific. You have to look on the Shulchan Aruch. It's got to meet the criteria of Hilchos Tekiah Shofar. When it comes to Tekiah Shofar Derech Tefillah, then the rules change a little bit. So that's the Ramban's suggestion to understand why we have this strange custom exist and used to exist in many, many places. The Rambam quotes this custom that the criteria of what constitutes Tekiah Shofar changes from the Tekiah the Meyushav to the Tekiah the Meumah. But a couple upon him, what we've seen really is that in the world of halacha, there's no question about it. Hopefully there's no question at this point. I spent 40 minutes trying to prove there's no question. There's definitely some link between the two. Tekiah Shofar and Tefillah definitely are related to one another. They're related in terms of we blow in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. They're related in terms of what the shofar looks like. They're related in terms of the Rambam's understanding of the unique din of Kavana. They're related according to the Rav's understanding of Tekiah Shofar and Shabbos. They're related according to the Ramban's understanding how the truest change from one part of the davening to the other. But we really have to understand now is what is this relationship? What is this all about? Why is there such a connection between what appear to be two different aspects of Rosh Hashanah? One is the davening, one is the Tekiah Shofar. What is it that merges the two to become one? So then we have to take a step back. Before we can address tefillah and Rosh Hashanah, we have to get just a little bit of a better understanding of tefillah in general. There is a very important fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, just what tefillah is all about. What is the Torah's image of Hilchos tefillah? What does davening mean, mid-araisa? So the Rambam develops an idea, both in Sefer Mitzvahs and Hilchos tefillah, that there's a mitzvah min ha-Torah for a person to be mispalel every single day. Chazal teach us in Maseches Tainus and Daf Beis, Ezu Avoda Shebelev, Havi Omazot Tefillah. This pasuk refers primarily to davening, to tefillah. The Rambam interprets the Gemara to mean there's a mitzvah midaraisa, just as you have to take Kriya Shema every day, you have to put on tefillin every day. Each and every person, the Rambam is clear, this is man and woman, have to be mispalel every single day. It's a mitzvah min haTorah. What one davens, what nusach one davens, when in the day one davens, whether in a minyan, in a shul, that's all midrabanan. Those details were added on, the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, the beginning of the second base of Mikdash, they gave us the structure of the three tefillos, the different brachas, etc. But the concept of Hilchos Tefillah, that a Jew has to daven, that was already given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That was a mitzvah min haTorah, that's what the Torah means, l'avda b'chol levavchem. This is the Rambam's understanding. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban, if you take a look at the sixth of the Mar Mekomos, the Ramban, in Sefer HaMitzvos, which is to say, hey, the Ramban's comments on the Rambam, says the Ramban, when the Sifrei interprets is referring either to learning or to tefillah, which he's addressing right now, asmachtahi. So the Ramban says in one fell swoop, it's only a din midrabbanan. The Sifrei doesn't mean to say there's a mitzvah in the Torah to daven. The whole hilchos tefillah is only midrabbanan. Olomar perhaps, shem nichlal ha'avoda shenu motorah v'shen ispalelav be'eis hatzoros, says the Ramban. Maybe the Sifrei does mean there's a mitzvah min haTorah of tefillah, but it's limited to eis tzara. It's limited to certain times when there's a specific need that arises, then tefillah becomes elevated to be min haTorah. That we should turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a servant turns to the master. And says the Ramban, how do I know that there's a halachic concept called eis tzara? Says the Ramban, we find precedent for this idea. There's a mitzvah in Parshas Balos to blow silver trumpets. When do you blow the silver trumpets? When you go out to war. Or Chazal interpret, not only to war literally, when there's a plague, when there's a famine, whatever the tzara is, when there's a communal need, a tremendous eis tzara, then there's a special mitzvah in the Torah to blow chatzotzros. What kind of mitzvah is that to blow chatzotzros? Just stomp to take silver trumpets and blow them? No, says the Raman, the mitzvah called tzara v'tzara shetov al atzibur, litzok lefonov v'tfilo v'trua. Says the Ramban, the chatzotros, the blowing of the chatzotros, are a form of tefillah. There are two dimensions, two responses that a person is supposed to have to an Eis Tzara. A tragedy or a potential tragedy is looming. So says the Ramban, the Torah requires of us to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what are the vehicles, what are the mechanisms that we use to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tefillah, ula'ovda b'chol levavchem, utrua, v'arayel sem b'chatzotzros. We've already mentioned that chatzotzros and shofar are very much linked to one another. In the mikdash, they merge to become one. And even chutz the mikdash, there is a connection between them. It's interesting if you know, in the brach of Shmoneh Esrei, we have shofros. The last pasuk that we quote doesn't mention the word shofar. It mentions of Yom Simchaschem v'vadechem v'skatem b'chatzotzros. So the Rishonim was so bothered with that pasuk that half the Rishonim took that pasuk out of the Machzor and said, what are you talking about Chatzotros for? This is Rosh Hashanah. This is not Chatzotros. And the other Rishonim said, no, you can leave it in. You know why? Shofar, Chatzotros, it's all the same thing. It's not exactly the same thing. One's silver trumpet in the Mikdash, one is a ram's horn in Shul, but it's the same sounds. The same blow, the same tkiyas, the same teruas, the same tkiyas, the same shvarim, the same shvarim. It's all the same. Tkiyas and the truas Chatzotros, the trua of the shofar is the same theme. According to this Ramban, we understand exactly why it's precisely the same theme, that truas of chatzotzos or shofros are a mechanism or a vehicle that are used for hilchos tefillah. So, following the footsteps of the Ramban, what we see, the picture that's emerging for us is that a tefillah on a regular day, person wakes up, everything's fine, Baruch Hashem, we encourage everyone to daven, but that tefillah is on a midiraban, according to the Ramban. When does tefillah become deraisa? They always tell the bochum and yeshiva. During finals, that's when tefillah, you know, jumps the guy. You know, a guy misses minyan of falls. I said, no, I said, shaita, that's when the tefillah is deraisa. You gotta go to that. So a person's holding by an Eis Tzara, that's when you have to daven. If you think about it, when is the greatest Eis Tzara? Ein lecha Eis Tzara gadola mizon? To the end of Rosh Hashanah. Everything's being decided. Mi yichya mi yamus. How could there be a greater need than that? Madach, the person who's standing and going for a job interview, is davening and saying Tehillim, that's Tefillah D'Araisa. So the person who's standing on the end of Rosh Hashanah when his whole parnasa is being decided for that year, Kal v'chaymer. Madach, the person is going, Nebuchadnezzar is going to surgery, is davening and saying Tehillim with a broken heart, Eis Tzara, Kal v'chaymer, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being done on Niyichim Yomus for the entire year, Ein l'chay Tzara Gadol Amizim. There's no question that the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is a different tefillah than the rest of the year. The tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is a d'araisa d'ka tefillah. It's the ultimate, it's the prototype of tefillah b'yais tzara. It's for sure mid'araisa, according to the Ramban. Whenever you have a tefillah d'araisa, what is it accompanied by? By truas. Either chatzotros, b'zman ha-mikdash, shofar, b'zman hazeh. Shofar, the kol trua of areisam, the litzok lefana of a tefillah with trua, that is the expression of the ultimate type of a tefillah that takes place specifically on Rosh Hashanah. But let's take this one step further. What exactly are we davening for in Rosh Hashanah? Somewhat of a strange question. Everybody comes with their long, you know, pekel, their own laundry list of what they're davening for Rosh Hashanah. So I'll tell you about davening Rosh Hashanah. We should keep in mind the following pasuk. Ritzon yireav yaseh, V'yeshavosam ishma v'yoshiyim. Ritzon Rav Yaseh, instead of posting a few times a day. Ritzon Rav Yaseh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillahs of Yirei Shemayim, a person is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does what he wants. Ritzon Rav Yaseh. I'll tell you a secret. Sometimes the things that we ask for are not necessarily in our best interest. We think that this X, Y, and Z, you can plug in whatever, shidduch job, whatever the case may be, whatever you're dabbing for, you think this is good for you. Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you ask Kadosh Baruch Hu enough, he may actually grant it for you. And then you're going to come crying to him a week later, why did you listen to me? So the pasuk says, V'yeshavosa mishma v'yoshim, he'll get you out of that mess also. So Ritzon Rav Yaseh, he'll do what you want, and then V'yeshavosa, shava means to scream, Yishma v'yoshim. We come to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Rosh Hashanah, with a lot of tefillahs. And rightfully so, we come, Baruch Hashem, we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for parnasa, for Kadosh Baruch Hu for health, we ask him for whatever needs, our personal needs, our family needs, community needs, class, with a whole, many, many things we turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu for. And then we reach a certain point, and we realize, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're not quite sure, truly, what to ask for. We don't know. We don't know ultimately what's best for us, what's best for our community, what's best for class, we don't know. Ribbono Shel Olam, our ultimate tefillah is that we leave it up to you to decide what is best for us. That's what Tekiyas Shofar enters into the picture. After we daven with words, then we daven with sounds. There are no words at Tekiyas Shofar. Tkiyah Shofar is a call from the heart. It's a tefillah without words. It's a tefillah without content. It's a tefillah without any specific requests. It's we say to Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't even know what to ask for. We're groaning, just coming out of it. You, Ribbono Shel Olam, put in the words into our tefillahs. Moshe Lamada Vedome, we ask tefillahs for Shchodesh every month. So we come to Ribbono Shel Olam with a long list. Chayim Shetei Banu Avos Torah V'yir Shemayim and Oisha V'chover and but they say as a joke in that tefillah. So there's only one thing that we ask for twice. We ask for Yerushalayim twice. Strange thing. We ask Chaim Shibana Yerushalayim Yerushalayim Chaim, then at the end we conclude with Avos Tov Yerushalayim. Why the repetition? Because in the middle we ask for Osha V'Chavod. So just in case the Rebbe Shalom answers us for the riches and the Chavod, we need another dose of Yerushalayim to offset that bracha. So when it comes to the end, Chaim, we ask the Kadosh Baruch for everything, and then we get to the grand finale, Chaim Shimalu. Or Sheimale Hashem Lakeinu different Nuschaos Mishalos Libeinu LaTova. We say Rabbanu Shalom, take all those bakashas that we asked, and you decide what's good, because we don't LaTova. We don't know. We can't say we're human beings. We don't have that proper perspective to know ultimately what is a bracha and what is not. Rabbanu Shalom, we trust you. Chayim Sheimale Hashem Lakeinu Mishalos Libeinu LaTova. That's what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah as well. But we're throwing ourselves in the hands of a Kaddish Baruch or Rabbanu Shel Olam. You decide, you put in the right words into the Tkiyah Shofar. And perhaps this is what Chazal mean in the last of the Marmikomos, seventh of the Marmikomos, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph Beis. Amar Rabba, Amar HaKaddish Baruch Hu, Kaddish Baruch Hu speaks to Klal Yisrael, and he says the following, Imru Lefonai B'Rosh Hashanah Malchiyah Zichronos V'Shofaros. Say Malchiyah Zichronos and Shofaros in front of me in Rosh Hashanah. This, in fact, led some Rishonim to believe that the saying of Malchiyah Zichronos and Shofaros is a mitzvah in our Torah, maybe even alluded to in Zichron Trua. That's what Rashi seems to say in Chumash. So Imru Lefonai B'Rosh Hashanah. Rabban Shalom says, say in front of me Malchiyah Zichronos and Shofaros. Malchiyahs? Kidei Shetam Lichuni Aleichem. So Malchiyahs? Kabal Samalcha Shemayim. Zichronos? Kidei Sheyavu Lefonai Zichronaichem Letova. Uvameh B'Shofar. So there seem to be three different requests, three different tefillos, three different themes that we're emphasizing in Rosh Hashanah. One is Kedei Shetam Lichuni, one is Zichronechem Afanei Letova, notice that phrase, and the third is Bashofar. Sounds like three different requests, nothing to do with one another, according to what we're suggesting though. It's one request. By turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, ultimately we don't know what's best for us, but you do, that is the greatest declaration of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. We are saying that Ribbono Shel Olam, you are the only one who has the proper perspective to decide what's good for us. That is Shekdei Shetam Lichuni Aleichem. Zichronos, once we accept upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shetam Lichuni, once we accept that the Ribbono Shel Olam has that perspective and we are lacking in it, then we have a right to come to Ribbono Shel Olam Kedei Sheyavu Lefonai Fanei Zichronechem. What's the magic word? Letova. That same word that we have in the davening of before Rosh Chodesh. Yimalei Mishlos Libeinu Letova. That word Letova. Tova is that ingredient that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can put into our tefillos. Uvameh. How do we pull off the stunt? How does it all get accomplished? Bashofar. How does Shofar do this? Exactly what we said. That we come to Ribbono Shel Olam after we finish the davening. We gave a list to Ribbono Shel Olam what we want, and now we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're mamlech you. We know that only you can decide what's the tova, and we demonstrate that for Shofar. By davening a second tefillah, a tefillah without words, the tefillah without words is the ultimate Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, and it's a tefillah without words that ultimately is a guarantee that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will accept that tefillahs, Kadesh Yavu Lefana Zichronechem L'Tov.